University of Ottawa, but what I'm presenting to you today is coming from my master's work, which I completed this past summer at Memorial University of Newfoundland under the supervision of David Pike. So it's about coloring even cycle systems. I'm going to begin with some definitions and background material, and then I'm going to get into the problem of coloring cycle systems. But again, I'll explain exactly what that entails as we go through. So what I'm talking about here is cycle systems of the complete graph. And I define an M cycle system of order N to be a partition of the edges of the complete graph KN into sets, each of which induces a cycle of length M. In other words, it's a decomposition of KN into M cycles. So let's see an example here. We're going to form a three-cycle system of order 7. We have here 7 vertices around the circle. So you can imagine that there's an edge between each pair of vertices. So we have a K7 on these 7 vertices. Now what we have here is a three-cycle. So we'll use that as a starter three-cycle. If we rotate it by 1, we'll get a three-cycle here. Rotate it 1 more, we'll get a three-cycle here. If we keep doing that until we get exactly 7 cycles, it turns out that we use each edge in K7 exactly once. So we have a three-cycle system of order 7. It's worth mentioning that decomposing the KN into three cycles, what we get is exactly a Steiner triple system. So I'll probably be throughout this talk using the terms three-cycle system and Steiner triple system interchangeably. Okay, so necessary and sufficient conditions for the existence of an M cycle system of order N are that N is odd, M has to divide the number of edges in KN, and N equals 1 is kind of a trivial case with no cycles in the system. Other than that, we would require N to be at least M. It's not too difficult to show that these conditions are necessary, but sufficiency turned out to be a much more difficult problem. And it was open for quite a while. The final solution appeared in 2 parts. Elsbach and Gavlas did the case where the cycle length M is odd, and Matea Scheiner solved the case where the cycle length is even. So, for example, a three-cycle system exists if and only if N is congruent to 1 or 3 mod 6, which is a well-known result of Kirkman from the mid-1800s. Admissible orders for the existence of a four-cycle system are that N is congruent to 1 mod 8, and so on. Okay, so what do we mean when we're talking about coloring a cycle system? Well, basically, we'll define a cycle system to be K-colorable if we can partition its vertex set into K color classes so that each cycle has at least 2 vertices which are colored differently. We say that the system is K-chromatic if it's K-colorable but not K-1 colorable. In other words, the system's chromatic number is the smallest value of K for which it emits a K-coloring. Okay, so let's see an example of this. This is the same diagram that we had before. The only difference is now that each vertex has been assigned 1 of 3 colors, either red, blue, or yellow. From how we form this system, each cycle in the system, like the starter cycle, will contain 2 consecutive vertices around the circle here. And no 2 consecutive ones have the same color, so no cycle will have all of its vertices of the same color. So we have here a three-coloring. I'm not going to go through the details, but it can actually be shown that this system doesn't admit a two-coloring. So this system actually does turn out to be three-chromatic. What I'd like to do now is to mention some of the previously known results regarding coloring of cycle systems. I'm going to start with three-cycle systems because they've been studied the most. We just saw an example of a three-chromatic three-cycle system, and it actually turns out that every three-cycle system of order at least 7 has chromatic number at least 3. If we're looking at lower, the 3-cycle system of order 3 has trivially chromatic number 2. But once we get to order 7 and above, every 3-cycle system has chromatic number at least 3. And this was shown by Rosa in 1970. He also showed that for every admissible order at least 7, there actually does exist a 3-chromatic 3-cycle system. If we look at 3-cycle systems of small order, every sinotriple system whose order is between 7 and 15 actually does turn out to be 3-chromatic. So these results so far, they suggest the question, do there exist triple systems that have higher chromatic number? The answer actually turns out to be yes. And this was noted by Rosa in the same paper in 1970. He observed that for any positive integer k, there's a 3-cycle system whose chromatic number is at least k. In other words, the chromatic numbers can become arbitrarily large. That each k at least 3 is actually attained as the chromatic number of some Steiner triple system was shown by de Brandes, Phelps, and Rodel in 1982. They actually showed a stronger result. For every integer k greater than or equal to 3, there's an integer n sub 3 of k, such that for any admissible order which is at least n sub 3 of k, there's a Steiner triple system which is k chromatic of that order. So once we hit this integer n sub 3 of k, any order that we get thereafter will admit a k chromatic system somewhere. I'd like to look for a minute at cycle systems of higher cycle length now. These are studied by Melici and Tuzza in a couple of papers. They showed, first of all, they showed the existence of 2 colorable systems, and hence 2 chromatic. For any m greater than 3, it actually turns out that any m cycle system of order 2m plus 1 is 2 colorable. In an earlier paper, however, they actually showed the existence of m cycle systems for any m which are not 2 colorable. Now, in this paper, the systems that they looked at, they didn't really care how many colors it would take to color the system. All they cared about was that 2 colors weren't enough. So they showed that the systems were not 2 colorable, but they didn't actually find their chromatic numbers. So this brings me to the work that we were looking at. That what we looked at were even cycle systems. In other words, m cycle systems where the cycle length m is even. So we started with 4 cycle systems, and we were actually able there to prove a result similar to what de Brandes, Phelps, and Rodel did for 3 cycle systems. For any integer k at least 2, there's an integer w sub k, such that for any admissible order n at least wk, there is a k-chromatic 4-cycle system of order n. For 4-cycle systems, however, we can actually do even better. If we take n sub 4 of k to be the smallest such wk, which is actually an admissible order of a 4-cycle system, then that actually turns out to be the smallest order for which there exists a k-chromatic 4-cycle system. If you look at the second part of this theorem, the corresponding statement for 3-cycle systems, it's not known whether it holds in general. N sub 3 of k is the smallest order for which there's a k-chromatic 4-cycle system when k is 3 or 4. But even looking at k being 5, it's not known whether it's actually the smallest order for which there exists a 5-chromatic 4-cycle system, or excuse me, 3-cycle system. So once we had 4-cycle systems out of the way, we went on to look at even cycle systems in more generality. And we got the following theorem. For any integers k greater than or equal to 3 and r at least 3, there's a K-chromatic 2-hour cycle system. And of course, we can actually extend this to K at least 2 and R at least 2 from the results on 4 cycle systems and the results on 2 colorable cycle systems from Alici and Tusa. So what I'd like to do in the time that remains is to go work through an example with you of showing how we found some of these K-chromatic systems. So what I'd like to do is to work through a construction of a 3-chromatic 6-cycle system. And I hope this kind of gives you a flavor of the techniques that we use in constructing such systems. Okay, so here's the general idea. We have here T sets, each containing a fixed number of vertices. In this case, each contains 12 vertices. And we've labeled these groups S1, S2, and so on up through S sub T. The value of T depends on some things later on in the construction, and I'll tell you what it is as we get to it. But for now, there's a certain number of groupings, each containing 12 vertices. So we have 12 T vertices there. We add one more, which we call infinity. And then, so we now have 12 T plus 1 vertices. We have on these vertices a K12 T plus 1 that we want to decompose into 6 cycles. Okay, so how are we going to do that? Well, on each of the Fi union infinity, for each I, we're going to put a 6-cycle system of order 13. Okay, that's going to use up every edge that's incident with infinity. It's also going to use up every edge that's contained, whose endpoints are both contained within one of the Fi's for any I. What's left exactly when we do this are precisely those edges between whose endpoints are one are in Si, the other is in Sj, where I is not equal to j. So how we're going to use up the rest of those edges is to place for between each Si and Sj pair a 6-cycle decomposition of the K12-12, which is between them. That will use all of the once we do that, that will use all of the edges in our K12t plus 1, and we'll have a 6-cycle system. So I'm going to explain exactly how we're going to do all that now in a second. Before I do that, it's useful to give these vertices names. The vertices in Si we'll call X1i up through X12i. The ones, as you'll see, that are going to be most important to our coloring are the first 6 in each of these groupings. So X1i up through X6i, we'll stick those together in a set and call it capital Xi. Okay, now to do those 6-cycle decompositions of K12-12, we're actually going to use a certain number of 6-cycle decompositions of K6-6. And here is one, illustrated here, has 6 cycles. And this one I've illustrated as going between Xi and Xj. And this decomposition I'll call D1. Okay? So what could D1 possibly, what information could it give us about coloring if we try to color Xi and Xj that have D1 between them? Well, if we take a color C, and we look here, if Xi and Xj have D1 between them, then they can't both have color C in positions 1, 2, and 3, because this black cycle up here would be monochromatic. They also can't both have a color C in positions 4, 5, and 6, because this blue cycle over here would be monochromatic. They could have, for instance, Xi could have color 1 in positions 1, 2, and 3, and Xj could have color 2 in positions 1, 2, and 3. That wouldn't be a problem, but they couldn't both have color 1 in those positions. All right? So we're going to actually use 10 decompositions in total. So here's D1 again. I've only listed its first 2 cycles because those are the ones that are important to our coloring. And there are these coloring patterns that we just saw that are in some way relevant to D1. To form the other decompositions, how we're going to do those is to take a permutation of the positions 1 through 6. So for example, if we switch 3 and 4, so we switch around X3i and X4i, and X3J and X4J. We get V2. And again, I've only illustrated the first two cycles. The other four, six cycles in the decomposition are formed by applying the same permutation to the other cycles in D1. If we apply the same permutation to this coloring set, to each of the patterns in this coloring set, we get some patterns, another set of patterns here. So if we switch 3 and 4 in the pattern up there, we get this one here. And if we switch 3 and 4 right here, we get the second one here. So we'll call that set of patterns PC2, corresponding to color C in decomposition 2. Now, the same as we saw with PC1, the same type of property holds. If XI and XJ have D2 between them in some order, they can't both have a given color C in positions 1, 2, and 4, because this cycle here would be monochromatic. And they can't have a color C in positions 3, 5, and 6, because this cycle here would be monochromatic. And similarly for the others. So there's the first five. And here's the second five. Now, of course, I don't remember expect you to remember all of these decompositions. You might ask, why did we choose these 10? The reason being is that any way to choose three positions to color the same color will actually end up occurring in one of these pattern sets corresponding to one of these 10 decompositions. For example, if we want to color vertices 1, 3, and 5 the same color, that will occur in one of the sets PC6. Okay? So I've summarized here the things that you should remember about these decompositions. We noticed this a minute ago. If we have a pattern P in the set PC alpha, if XI and XJ have D alpha between them in some order, then they can't both be colored to match color P. The other thing that you need to remember is that any two coloring of one of those XIs actually matches a pattern in one of those pattern sets. The reason for that being, XI has 6 vertices, so if we try to two-color it, there will be 3 vertices of the same color. And any way to two-color them with 3 vertices of the same color will occur in one of those pattern sets, as we just noted. Okay, we're now in a position where we can actually start to construct this system. So we begin with 5 sets, S1 up through S5. And this is what we're going to do with these to place decompositions between them. If we have SI and SJ, where I is less than J, we place D1 between XI and XJ. And between XI and SJ minus XJ, we place any 6-cycle decomposition of K6-6. The same between SI minus XI and XJ, between SI minus XI and SJ minus XJ. Any 6-cycle decomposition of K6-6 will do there. We could use D1 if we like. It doesn't matter. What we get at this point we'll call R1. Then we'll take 5 copies of R1. If SI and SJ are in the same copy, they've got a decomposition between them already, so leave it alone. If not, this is what we do. If they're in different copies, we place D2 between XI and XJ, and we place any 6-cycle decomposition of K6-6 here, here, and here to complete our decomposition of the K12-12. So we now have 25 of these sets, and what we get as a result we'll call R2. So we keep doing this. We take 5 copies of R2, place D3 between XI and XJ in different copies, complete the decomposition, and so on. So we basically keep doing this until we run out of different decompositions to use. We'll end up with R9, we take 5 copies of it, then we place D10 between XI and XJ in different copies, complete the decomposition in the same way. What we get as a result we'll call R10. Now R10 actually now has 5 to the 10 of those sets SI, and that's the value of T that we need here. So T is 5 to the 10. We add our vertex infinity, and on each SI union infinity, place a 6-cycle system of order 13, and any one will do. And once we do that, we now have a six cycle system of order 12 t plus 1. So 12 times 5 to the 10 plus 1. To show that it's three chromatic, there are two things that we need to show. We need to show, first of all, that we can't two-color the system. And then we'll need to show that we can three-color it. So let's assume for a minute that what we got as our system, we could two-color it, and let's give it a two-coloring. And in order to show that it's that this can't hold, we're going to work backwards through the construction. So look at R10 at the end. It consists of five copies of R9. If XI and XJ are in different copies, they have decomposition D10 between them. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, if we have a pattern in either P110 or P210, then at most one of the copies of R9 can have one of those sets of XI whose coloring matches that pattern. Otherwise, we would have XI and XJ with D10 between them, both matching the same pattern in one of these sets, that would give us a monochromatic cycle. So in these sets, each P110 and P210 each contain two patterns, so there's four patterns in total. Since we've taken five copies of R9, what that tells us is that there's got to be at least one of those copies that has no set XI whose coloring matches any of the patterns in the sets PC10. All right? Let's look at this copy of R9. It consists of five copies of R8, with XI and XJ in different copies having D9 between them. So do basically the same reasoning. It will turn out that at least one of the copies of R8 has no set XI whose color to match any pattern in PC9. It also can't match any pattern in PC10 because we've chosen this copy of R9 so that no XI in it matches a pattern in PC10. So we keep on going through over and over until we get to the end, and what we end up concluding is that there's got to be a set XI whose coloring matches none of these patterns in any of the pattern sets PC alpha. But this is a contradiction because we noted before that any two coloring of XI has to match one of those patterns. So we get that the system actually can't be two colored. We can, however, three color the system, and this is how we do it. We give vertex infinity color 1. Each set SI, we give this coloring indicated here with three colors. And it turns out, it's not too difficult to check, I'm not going to go through the details, but it turns out that none of these six cycles that we've placed are actually monochromatic. For example, on SI union infinity, on the six cycle system of order 13 that we've placed there, we can't have any six cycles, all of whose vertices have the same color, because no six vertices there actually have the same color. And similarly, it's not difficult at all to check that none of the other six cycles that we've placed could possibly have the same color, all of its vertices of the same color. So I'll stop there, and thank you very much.